faulty VAR systems bring you.
Phoenix City!
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City for yet another week.
A bit late this week.
Not
our fault though.
Our usual podcast recording night got taken away by football, so...
How rude.
I know, it wasn't really nice of it, especially the way the game went. Mm. I preferred to be recording a podcast about a not loss, but anyway, we are here now. You're probably listening to this on game day or after game day of the game that we're going to preview. But that's fine. You'll get the last two games. We thought we may as well pod before we have to try and talk about three games at once.
Because it's going to be a hell of a week if we did that next week. Yeah. An hour and a half pod.
And it'll be a game from a week and a half ago and a game from a week ago. It just wouldn't be fun. So here we are. We're sitting in a lounge on a Friday night talking about football instead of being out in the town having fun.
I'd probably be in bed, to be fair.
Fair. that is fair.
Yeah.
I'd be Netflix. So
Netflix. Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Bed's also fun, though. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll be sleeping. So not that much fun.
At this point, I would also be sleeping.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Yeah.
God, we're a bunch of fun bastards.
It is only 8:06 p.m. We're talking about going to bed. So,
yes. At least we have excuses, Patrick.
Well, Dave is out in the town, I believe. He's
pre-existing condition.
What? No, he was not.
I
in
mean
the town,
exactly how it sounded.
I imagine right now Dave is fairly intoxicated, which is going to be a good time for Dave. So, yes, he'll be having a good time, but he's not here. But let's crack on and talk about some football. The first of which was the 3-3 draw. You can tell I didn't watch this, can't you?
Yes,
the 3-3 draw with Melbourne Victory in Melbourne, which neither Frosty nor I have seen. So, Cam?
I did actually see the second half.
You've seen the second half, okay.
Well, that's why we did so shit. It's been such a long time, I can't actually recall either of Roy's goals.
That's fine. So the way the things went, I'm remembering this.
It was the pen.
Let's just do things in order.
Sorry, Williams.
Oliver Toivonen.
Toivonen scored first.
Toivonen scored first.
After cutting open the defence and just tapping it past Curto.
Yeah, Costa did some good work and set Toivonen in. Toivonen made a good run and, tapped past Curto, not to blame. It was a really nice piece of football by
Then 2 minutes later, Louis Fenner puts in a great drilled cross for a willow tap-in, essentially, at the... Yes. At the near post?
To be fair, Willow had quite a lot to do.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty well.
Oh, totally, but once he gets his foot to this, the trick is getting your foot to it. Once you get a foot on it, you're going
to
score.
Oh, no, he did have to...
He has to beat out two defenders and a goalkeeper to get there, so that's where the good work comes in.
Yeah, when but he has gets to dink the ball, the keeper could still quite easily have just got in the way, so he's pretty much picked the spot he could.
It was
a nicely taken goal, though.
Yeah, the second one is the penalty... No, this is a clear penalty for me.
I can't remember. I've actually got
dumb decision.
The A-League app trying to load
The video.
The highlights of the first half, and it's really struggling.
Excellent. Well, this one was Rory trying to go laterally across the box, and a guy was clipping his back foot, and he falls over.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Soft pen, but it's a pen.
Well, it's not soft pen. It's just a stupid pen.
Yeah, stupid pen. It's a foul anywhere else in the field. I'm fine with this penalty. Yep. He didn't take it overly well, if I recall correctly.
Rory never does.
And we'll get
Cam
to
and I discuss this all the time.
Oh, totally. We'll get to that second game. But the third goal was Krishna as well. This was the shot from Williams.
Yeah.
Williams, and then Lawrence Thomas should really have done better, but he palms it away. And Rory taps in from a slightly acute angle.
Lawrence Thomas, instead of blocking it, just turning it around the post for a corner, he's got hard hands and it's popped out to the to his right, so our left.
And Rory just comes
in. Rory has curled it into the far post.
Nice finish, to be fair to Rory.
Yeah, he had to go back over the top of Lawrence Thomas just in case he could get his hand up.
And then there's two second half goals, James Troisi and Costa Valroussis. The Troisi one...
I can't remember.
Can't remember this one either.
No, it's too long ago.
Yeah,
and they go from the mirror when you get another game in there.
And then
by the sound Costa cut us to shreds.
Holding on for the better part of half an hour. 40 minutes and right at the death, Costa pops up, and of course it's going to be Costa to claim 2 points back for the victory.
To be fair, we did have some good chances.
1 point back for the victory, 2 points off us.
Yeah.
Because someone will tweet me about that mistake.
There's we did have a couple of good chances at fourth, at a fourth goal. Roy threw on goal and miskicks his shot. Now, if he'd actually hit it, I reckon the keeper saves it. I reckon he's not going to get it past the keeper, but he's mishit it, and it's just dribbled, and I mean dribbled past the far post. And when he miskicked it, I swear it was going in, and you're just praying for it, and it just doesn't quite, it just sneaks to the wrong side of the post.
When was this in the game?
Very late. Very late.
So it was 3-2.
I can't remember if it was 3-2. I think it was 3-2, and they went right down the other end and scored.
I think Rudan mentioned that one too.
Was this as much of a game of two halves as it seems to me?
That first half when I was watching was some of the best football I've seen the Phoenix play. From minute 6 to minute 45 was exceptionally good football. Like
what changed in the second half then?
We sat back.
Yeah.
We were sitting back from about, minute 50-odd?
I disagree. I think Muscat brought on the Greek player, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, at halftime.
That would be Raul Baena.
Baena. He made
Greek.
I think he was Greek. He could be Spanish, but I thought
Spanish, mate.
I thought he was Greek. If you'd like, I'll look him up on
his name is Spanish, but
don't look him up.
He made a world of difference.
Yeah.
Who was it? Not Brown.
Hope.
Thank you. Yeah. He was garbage.
Inappropriately named, he's got no. So
he's one of the young players though, right? Isn't he?
He is. He's probably got a future, but he wasn't doing.
He got dismantled,
right?
And they came back into the game, and that was the basic difference there.
Yeah,
Victory started playing like Victory can. I think they tactically got it wrong. We play so well on the fast break, and we do break so quickly that when Victory is going to dominate possession, as you'd expect they would, they didn't factor in us actually being quite quick on the break, so we actually got to counter them quite quickly. The Williams goal was the perfect example of that.
Yep.
So I think in the second half, Muscat's tightened up on that and basically hasn't given us the space and time to be able to make those changes. Victory is always good for goals. We all know that. They're a very, very good side. They're the best side in the league for a reason, historically.
Technically second best at the moment, right?
Yeah, but still historically the best side.
Yeah.
So I think it was more on Muscat.
Yeah.
Actually doing something decent tactically that changed the course of that game.
Do you think Steve Corica learned from that?
If you want to just jump straight to the Sydney game now.
Well, I didn't want to, but you've raised a point that Muscat's made a tactical change that's completely flipped the game, and it sounds like it was a similar change to what Corica seemed to do.
I think that Corica had no choice after we dismantled them playing that high line of theirs.
So you think it was going back to the game and...
Yeah, he had no alternative but to play a lot deeper, away.
Corica was incredibly astute.
Yeah, we'll come back to this game later on because it's become a different point now. Yeah. I was thinking about this afterwards and what I've said on the podcast before. That's a really bad position for my arm because that hurt a massive amount. I have my arm above my head and it is not properly healed
There's
yet.
There's an armrest right there, buddy. Go for gold.
There we go. Done. That's quite comfortable, actually.
Yeah, it's quite
Cam knows the couch.
Quite like that. Yeah, it's quite.
I'm good with couch. There's a reason why it's got wide arms.
Yeah, so you can put a drink bottle next to you on the arm.
You can put a plate of nachos on it.
Food beside you, laptop.
A mixer.
Yeah,
this is great.
This is pretty good catch.
It's excellent catch. The point I was making was, previously I said that people have called me out for this and said that I've been negative about a team and I'm not being positive about a team that had been, before this game, 8 matches unbeaten?
9.
Before the Melbourne victory game was...
The Melbourne was the 9th one.
The Melbourne was the 9th. There had been 9 games unbeaten, essentially. And this kind of thing is exactly why we are a top 4 team. Top 4 or 5 team rather than a top 2 or 3 team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've said this before, it feels like I'm being negative to say that we should be doing better in a situation that we're 3-1 up against the Victory.
See, for me...
I don't disagree.
But I do. At the same time, we come away from Melbourne Victory with a 3-all draw, which historically is an excellent result. And it's just the fact that this year's Phoenix has so much potential to be that top 3-all-3 team we want it to be, but at every single hurdle, bar the Sydney game, they managed to falter somehow and not pick up 3 points.
Well, I think the point is, Rudan didn't change.
No, I'm going to go to Frosty because Frosty wants to discuss this. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got to say, I don't think that we are a top two or three team.
I agree.
But the reason is I think we don't have the depth. You look at Victory and who they're able to bring on. Boyana. They're literally, one of their first 11 players is getting cut to shreds. They can bring on a really, you know, he's quite talented.
Decent import.
Yeah, decent import. And bring him off the bench, put him on. Not only does he basically hold the fort back there, he actually turns the game around.
I was about to say that we were able to do that against Sydney, but we weren't because we started with shit. We started with Burns, who was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, fair.
But so,
basically, as of the end of this month, we don't even have enough players.
Yeah.
A minimum amount. So the idea that we've got quality on the bench, you don't even have the numbers.
So you think that the Phoenix are performing exactly as we should expect?
I think that we can expect those really tough games against those top three sides. We need 15 good players, not 11 or 12. At the moment, we've got maybe 12.
Yeah,
we have more, but a couple aren't performing. I think that's the key.
Well, yeah, okay.
Good players. Yeah, good true. Players. Historically, very good. We know they're talented. Yeah.
We've got 12. We've got a starting 11 and then Sheridan, essentially.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. We've got 12 good players. When injuries come around or when you get tight scheduling, we're going to drop off the pace a little bit.
But this game against Victory wasn't caused by tight scheduling. We had a week off and they had 3 days off before.
But this is also a top three side, and a top three side that knows how to win, that knows how to come back. So a mentally tough side.
Are you disagreeing with me? Because I think we agree on some parts that we're not that top three team. But are you disagreeing with me that I shouldn't be disappointed about this result because I shouldn't be hoping for us to get there?
I think it's false expectations to believe that we're going to be a top three side unless we've got a bench that can come on and be at that A-League level. I don't think we do.
You're shaking your head?
No, I actually agree with you, Patrick. Yeah. You are more than entitled to be disappointed we didn't close out a win being 3-1 up at halftime. More than
that
entitled
I'm not disappointed
to.
About. Yeah. But context. Melbourne.
Yeah. And that's the
without
thing,
the bench.
That I feel like I my head tells me that this should be a good result.
And it is a good result.
We should take this.
You take the passion out of this decision.
Yeah.
Three, a draw and a point in Melbourne at Victory is a great point.
But I also want the Phoenix to win the league, and this is the best chance we've had in bloody 5 years to do that.
Yes, it was the first time we've only had one good season in the last 8.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes a world of difference.
It disappoints me that we're not able to make that step up.
No,
but compare it to the past 3 or 4 seasons where we've been languishing around last and 9th and 8th. This is a massive step up on that. We wouldn't be able to do a 3-0 result going down 1-0 5 minutes into the game. We'd just give away 5 more goals and lose 6-0.
It's a massive mental turnaround for a club that's perennial kind of cellar dwellers to actually get up and getting used, not just used to winning, but learning to win hard. Yeah. I mean, winning when you're the better team isn't that hard. But to win in the A-League, salary cap league, you have to be able to win those hard games when you're playing badly. And, you know, we know that Victory have this tradition almost of winning those tough games, winning those games where they haven't looked good, when they've just managed to come back from a few goals. I mean, they've done it against who haven't they done it against? They started off that sort of thing with Adelaide way back in the first
season.
Final.
Yeah.
So they've built up that tradition, that mental belief. We've got to do that. I don't think we're going to pick the first season and just turn around and go, yep.
The thing is that I think a lot of people are really excited by this because we are getting draws in these games.
We should be happy.
We've drawn against Perth Glory at home. They are affected. Asterisk next to it. We've drawn against the Melbourne Victory twice in tough games. We've beaten Sydney.
We drew away to Adelaide.
Yeah. And so we are getting points in these games, but we're just not winning them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hard part for me is to say we are not a great team right now. We are a good, mediocre A-League team because we're 5th and 6th.
Yeah. I don't think anyone could be saying we're a great team. I think
people are.
Yeah. So I don't think we are.
Mark Rudan's being put as a potential coach of the year candidate because he's.
Yes, but that's entirely different
that's
scenario.
Context, man.
That's all context because he's gone and taken a team that was 9th and was 10th for 20 weeks of the previous season, and he's made them contenders for a comfortable playoff spot, possible top four.
We're seeing
that's magnificent.
The crowds have flocked back because this is a good, in quotation marks, team again. They're winning games, but to me, they're not.
Getting
10,000 people to a midweek game doesn't make much, or whatever it was, 9,000, doesn't make sense yet. We're not that team yet.
Sure.
Have I got something wrong here?
Yes, you have, because 9 games unbeaten in any league at any time is good. And yep. that attracts people. And people are going, you know what? You're scoring goals because we have had some good score
lines. That's a good point. That's a good point.
So you're going to see some entertainment. They are not losing. So there's every chance you're going to come away from a game having that negative kind of connotation behind the game. So again, it's context. I have no issue with you thinking, hey, this isn't a great team yet. We still have a lot to prove because we do. But you also need to look at the wider context of where we've come from, what the fans expect, and what they're delivering on the field.
So it feels like that what we're actually talking about is consistency across the season.
Boom.
Which is a segue, Patrick.
Let's do it. Into the game against Sydney FC. Mm-hmm. Which we all know we lost 1-0. Yep. Good crowd at turnout, actually. Let's mention that.
8,961, fantastic. I think it was. That was unbelievable.
And very, very happy, very vocal.
Second highest of the round, only behind the E3 Derby. So.
Dead quiet.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah. It was
dead quiet.
It was quiet.
Yeah. Barely made a noise
for
the first half.
For a midweek game.
Yeah, true. Context.
Yep.
To go into the context.
But
thing.
There was barely a noise in the first
which
half.
Which is fine.
Barely a noise.
That's accurate. It was a big, great crowd. We all had work the next day. Yeah. This was, as we've said, essentially a masterclass in tactics from Steve Corica.
Yeah. You got exactly right.
Well, yeah. I think we're giving him too much credit there. He had no choice. He could not play a high line against us. He could not play a narrow line against us because he knew that we would exploit that. In combination with the shitty weather and us playing only 10 men in the first half,
yeah,
that screwed us.
Yeah.
And we had also the tactics that he's putting out there, the two banks at four. You know, the whole basically Catenaccio.
Yeah.
And we weren't playing with a 10 to go in between those lines. Mm. Well,
we're playing with a 10, but he's not a 10. He's that was your
not
problem.
Only
you're
is
playing
he
a
not
guy a, out of position. Nathan, he's not a creative midfielder.
Say the name so everyone knows who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Nathan Burns was a total passenger in the first half. He showed absolutely nothing at all. Not even the stuff that he had shown previously. I think his Phoenix days are done.
Yep. I would be carrying his bags to the airport right now.
Well, no, I wouldn't be because we need to have squad players and he's not an absolute arsehole like Mitch Nichols is.
And he is a fantastic footballer who is obviously very out of form, very down on luck.
Let's talk about the fact that he's starting and Killian is starting in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Killian makes sense because he's been there or thereabouts. He's played significant periods of match play recently.
And we've got three games in 7 days.
And he has a quality. He showed that recently.
That's why he's starting.
Yeah.
Set three games in 7 days.
Totally. Yep. But then to start Burns doesn't make any sense to me when he has been out
10.
Of the squad.
No. Not at 10, I agree.
He wasn't even on the bench for the last game.
Yep. So you need to rest Krishna. You need to rest Singh.
Yep.
Fair enough.
I'm fine with that.
Yep.
He's young.
Try Burgess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a shot.
Yeah.
Because he can play 10. That
and again, he's been coming on and actually changing the game slightly, much more than Burns has.
He's certainly been having an impact.
Yeah.
The thing I think that might have counted against Burgess, and I don't think that it should, is he puts himself about. And so he's the sort of guy that's liable to pick up a cheap yellow or maybe two if he plays 90 minutes or at least 60 minutes.
Yeah, he'll be playing 60 minutes. But I don't understand why Burns, if the intention was to use him in these games, wasn't sent down to play handy prem.
Just keep his fitness.
Match
up.
Fitness. That's the thing he's lacking is confidence and match fitness.
No, that's not. He doesn't know how to play 10. He used to rate himself as a 10.
Sure, but even when he's been out on the wing, he's looked garbage. He's had nothing.
No, I disagree.
I think he's good with the ball at his feet and he's a good dribbling at players. But the problem is as soon as he gets that white box in front of him, he gets the yips.
Show me one chance that he's created all season. And you're not going to be able to because there isn't any.
No, there is.
Is there?
There's plenty of opportunities that he's created all season. Alone the shots that he's taken as well, there is more than one. So there's plenty this season. However, none have been successful. And that's the problem. He's not suddenly a crap player. What he is a player who is very down on confidence.
Down on confidence, down on form.
And down on form. Yeah. And those two things matter. Now, what he needs more than anything else is to get hit one in off his ass and have Rudan's arm around him telling him he's awesome, he's needed, he's wanted. It's exactly the same way that you manage Krishna. That's exactly what Burns needs right now. You're great. We want you here. Get out there and show us what you can do. And if you can do that, then it'll be fine.
Obviously, the changes are mandated by the schedule. And Sydney FC have done it. And it highlights the depth problem. But we don't have the depth to be able to do that properly.
You compare that what Sydney had to do when they picked up injuries quickly. They brought Brosk off the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
Brosk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, in this game, our bench was also very strong. Our bench had Singh and
but we also
Williams, and but we had first teamers who were potentially lacking. Attention.
Oh, mate. That,
yeah. We had first teamers who were good footballers, out of form and out of confidence. Yeah, and so that's what it is.
Yeah. And out of position.
And out of position. Yeah, he's definitely not a 10. So
the Sydney goal, it felt like that had been – it felt like Sydney had just started to swing the game back their way slightly after we were kind of peppering down the other end for a little while, but not creating anything clear cut. And then they craft that chance and score it.
It wasn't even a crafted chance. It was just a – it was set piece and –
the striker's got a toe to it ahead of a defender, and it's, you know, across in front of goal, and, you know, Durante has dived in but too late to get to the ball, and
not
goal.
Too late to get to other things though.
Certainly
snapped him
did.
In half.
Yeah.
How he didn't get a yellow for this late and well from behind.
Okay, so it's not a penalty.
No, because he's already scored.
And he's gone for the ball.
Going for the ball is
in the box.
Straight through the back of him.
That is why he wouldn't have a yellow.
Straight through the back of him with no chance of getting the ball. That's a yellow.
Yeah, I think for me, this sits between careless and reckless. Yeah, yellow card or just foul. And I think that I would err on the side of foul. If that misses, it's a penalty.
Yes.
Is the way that I would see this.
Yes.
You can't go through the back of someone's
ankles. I don't think he's gone through the back of someone.
He tried to pull out, but he has absolutely clattered.
I've only seen this on the big screen, albeit many times because it was a large stoppage in the game. Yeah. But I've only seen this there at the game on the big screen. And to me, it looks like it's an unfortunate 2 feet to have come down one on top of the other slightly and it's pinged.
No, he's gone through his studs. It wasn't that he went through on his foot.
Yeah.
He's actually gone back through his ankle.
Right. Studs, like through his studs heel. Or studs or the top of his toes type thing.
I don't recall.
Because that's a difference. I don't think it was studs.
I'm pretty sure he's gone with the top of his foot
because
he's tried to kick the ball.
Yeah.
But again, don't quote me. I could be wrong.
Yeah, me too. Sorry. I don't know for certain. But something that certainly should have been a penalty.
Oh, my God.
Was the handball.
That was staggering. When I saw that live, I'm down the other end and I'm watching through the lens. I'm like, that's a pen.
He's punched.
He has handled.
I saw this from the zone.
Do you know what? I actually thought he'd done it on purpose because he was already out of bounds because of my perspective of depth is obviously difficult from the other end.
And he's waiting away and annoying.
I thought, he's put it out for a corner. He's hit it with his arm because of that. That's how deliberate that handball looked.
Like, this looked like a handball from the Fever Zone in real time. And
99% of Fever Zone, we're going, that's a pen.
Everybody in the stadium, very one-eyed Phoenix supporters, most of them, were like, that's a penalty.
Yeah. The only one that said no was Dale. Dale said that's off his chest.
Dale did.
The initial touch was it's off his chest.
And then he
smacked it with his arm.
Yeah. It's the fact that the arm moves so clearly towards the ball and bats the ball away that I think there's a penalty. This comes back to the whole, is there intention there or not? And I don't think there's intention, but apparently that's not how we're getting pinned at the moment.
I totally agree with you. If it comes down to, as the law's written, it's not
no
a handball.
But under current interpretations, this should be 100% a penalty.
Yeah.
We saw way less handball than this being given in the A-League so far and in the World Cup, for example.
And in every football game in the last decade.
Exactly. Yes. So this was a clear-cut penalty. I've seen the explanation that the VAR came back and said to the referee, that's the other thing here, is that the VAR screen was broken.
So I found out about this before the game.
Yeah.
Standing over there talking to the volunteers and officials over there.
Yeah.
And there was a technician who was trying to get the TV going and just could not get it working. It wasn't taken down because of the weather.
Yeah, it was just not working.
It was just not working. It may have been weather related that it wasn't working, but they took the hoardings down because they were getting blown over, right?
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't be up.
But the screen?
This wasn't anything to do with that. So it was just a technical issue meant that he couldn't see it himself. And I think that saved him.
So was it official? Like, we've heard that that the VAR came back and said penalty and the ref said no.
That's what I've
heard.
Is that
official though?
There's been no official comment yet. I think next week. It's usually once a week Ben Wilson puts out his video where he explains decisions. Mm-hmm. And there was an instance this week where he said that the referees did get it wrong. But we haven't seen that yet. All we've seen is anecdotal evidence from people who have talked to people who are potentially in the room at the time.
I've heard the same thing from third party.
Exactly, which have said that the VAR said clear penalty, which I believe, because why wouldn't you? And the referee watching the big screen, which is what he did at the time because there was no screen, said no penalty. I have a problem with this because the moment the VAR screen is not available, you should not be using VAR in the game whatsoever. Yep. Just play the game like normal.
Yep.
The next problem I have with it is that the TV is showing exactly what the VAR is seeing. They are rocking back and forth on certain incidents. They see multiple angles. Yeah. The big screen is broadcast footage that is controlled by the broadcaster.
Yeah.
Put aside the fact that cricket has this problem. Sorry, rugby has this problem where the home broadcaster can keep showing some foul play over and over and over, and that'll ping off a review process yeah. because they're seeing it over and over. This is relying on the angles that, the broadcaster decided to show the TV audience.
Yeah.
That's a problem. The problem is that the referee has seen the wrong thing. The referee has said there is only chest here, there is no arm, and that is just plain wrong.
Yeah.
That is not the case of what happened whatsoever. So the VAR system has just failed dismally here
yep.
completely. To
the VAR system, I think, is the operative.
I don't think the literal video assistant referee, which I think was Nick Waldron again.
Nick Waldron sitting and in the box, Jamie Cross was his assistant. Yeah.
I don't think they got it wrong whatsoever.
No, from what I've heard, 100% got they it right. both thought it was a penalty.
But the VAR system of they then need to tell the referee that he needs to check his decision and they need to overturn the clearly incorrect decision didn't happen. Yes, you can say that's the referee's fault, but he's part of the VAR system. Mm. He needs to go along with what the video is showing and what the VARs are telling him for it to be functional. And
I think the point you make, Patrick, where if it's not available for the ref to review, you
don't use it.
And it's still the same for both teams.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no issue. And the VAR, if he hadn't used it, the outcome would not have been impacted whatsoever in this game because the penalty that they didn't get given, he still didn't give it, even though VAR said to give it. And the other penalty that we'll come to later on, which they reviewed, wasn't overturned, was still given on the referee's decision.
Exactly,
so the VAR.
But that's arbitrary. It's basically coincidence that that's the outcome. I'd be more than happy if the VAR was just the be all and end all. They said, no, look, you got it wrong. I can see it. You can't. It's a pen.
Yes and no.
But I know football, that's not the way it works.
I don't want to talk about this too long because we have limited time to record tonight, but football is fundamentally set up that the referee has overruling control. We saw Conga overturn his ARs the other day because he was right, and the AR was only indicating that that they thought it was offside. I think that the VAR potentially needs to have more power than just an AR. They can say, no, seriously, that's a penalty. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then the referee should genuinely consider that. But I can see why it's been set up the way it is. They came up with the wrong decision entirely, and we're all Phoenix supporters.
Yeah.
Like we should be saying, yeah, it was great, but it's just a failing.
Rubbish.
Yeah. It's a failing. That was a clear pin. In the same way that I don't think when Stephen Taylor got fouled in the box, I don't think that was a penalty either.
See,
Someone convinced me it's a penalty because I don't see one.
Yeah, I actually think he fouled first.
Me too.
But he did, I believe, get a clip to the ankles as the other player is going down. Zulu, I think it was going down.
Yeah.
And that's why he's made the most of it.
Oh, absolutely.
But I believe there was a contact there. Fouled first.
Yeah, what I saw here was that he dragged Zulu into him and then Zulu creates contact with his feet and then that's what Taylor goes down under. I think this is play on.
I
don't think it's a foul against Taylor. I think this is just straight play on.
No, I do. I think Taylor should be done for a foul for this. I don't think it should be a penalty. There's definitely contact, but he creates the contact.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a foul, but it's all created by Taylor. But Taylor, he's led with the elbow and he's got Zulu with the elbow. He should be done for a
foul. That's what I saw. And as soon as I heard the whistle, I was like, he's going to get pinged for that. Yeah. But just the dive alone was such a poor swan dive.
It's just like
I wouldn't give him anything, even if he did kick his legs out for him, because that was appalling.
I saw
I actually think it's more realistic than you give it credit for.
I saw
because he has thrown himself.
On this point.
Exaggerated, yes. But he has got a kick from behind and he's pulled his leg up from that. That's actually more realistic a reaction than if he just swallow dived, whatever you call it.
I read a thing from Mark Kladenberg this week where he was explaining how referees attempt to tell the difference between simulation and a genuine foul.
If they dive upwards.
Yeah, that's the thing, is when arms go upwards, it's generally they're trying to show off that there was more contact than there actually was. When arms go forward to break a fall, that's more like it's been genuinely you've gone down and you're going down under someone else's volition here rather than causing it yourself. What did Taylor do here? I think
his arms went up, he went up, exactly. His legs went up.
Everything went up.
His legs went forward. So if you're going to dive, generally your arms will go up and your body, but your legs will go side to the sides.
Yeah.
But he has pulled his legs back. So whilst I totally agree, he's exaggerated this beyond all reasonable means. There is still contact there, which is what causes him to do so.
I'm happy with this being play on. In saying that, it was awarded, and then Roy decided that he didn't think it was a penalty either, and just proceeded to tap the ball to Redmayne for an easy take.
He is awful at pins. We've said this on the pod, right? We have 100% said this on the pod. He goes the same spot every single time.
And he doesn't do a great job of it.
No.
Nope.
He is predictable and poorly executing those penalties. The ones he's had saved this season, Moss and Redmayne,
yep,
have both been to the same spot. He had the one that he converted when he had the two in the game here against
Central Coast.
Central Coast, where the Kennedy pushed it onto the post.
Both times.
The second time, blasted straight in. The second time was it went the same way, but he hit it high, and it went in high. So Kennedy went the same way.
The one against the Victory, straight down the middle, top of the net.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Keeper's diving every time there, not saving that. Yep. But these ones are just not good enough.
He doesn't hit them well. And some people can, some people can't. It's just the way.
I have a yak stat for you on this, actually. I'll just bring it up because it's quite interesting. He, in the Melbourne Victory game, Roy Crusher drew level with Paul Eiffel on 7 penalties scored. Mm-hmm. Guess how many Krishna's not scored?
I would say 10.
It's
not quite that high.
I can think of, he's missed 2 this season. I can think of.
But this season, he's been exceptional.
1 last season.
Just say a number.
4 or 5.
It's 6. Yeah. So he's missed almost as many as he's, missed is a relative term, missed or had saved.
Yeah.
He's not scored almost as many as he's scored.
Yeah.
Which is not the ratio you want for your penalty taker.
No, it shouldn't be 50-50. It should be
more like 75-25, like in terms of historical
even
stats.
Even better, 80-20 would be what I'd be expecting.
Yeah.
That's Messi-like conversion.
Yeah, the number.
But you do expect above 2/3.
Yeah. I expect the best, the guy that's standing in there to take your penalty is the guy in your team that's best at it on the field at that time. Krishna at no point is the best at taking penalties on that field at any particular time, because I know Burns is better and I know Killian Sheridan is better and one of those guys is likely to be on the field.
Sheridan takes a mean penalty based on what I've seen on YouTube.
Yeah, I've only seen him on YouTube. Trainings and stuff like that, yes, he hits a mean penalty. Get him on them. And Burns needs that goal. If there's one pop up when you are winning, give it to him and give him a chance.
Burns is not a penalty taker either.
No.
But he hasn't missed.
He's taken 2 penalties for the Phoenix.
And scored both.
Yeah. Well, there were technically only 1 goal because he was forced to retake it on the hat trick. But
And let's face it, he's never taken penalties apart from before or after.
No.
Let him take him.
Killian's on the field. Killian takes them. Killian wasn't on the field when this one was going.
He wasn't.
In, but I would say David Williams ahead of Krishna.
I don't know that David Williams is a set piece.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would have Sarpreet Singh on those.
I've seen Singh take penalties in handy prem for a while on a different level, but he takes good penalties. So.
Yes. It doesn't matter the level. It's a penalty. If you hit the corners, you score the penalty. Yeah. It's simple.
It's about dead ball. It's nothing else.
Sarpreet is literally the best dead ball taker in the team at the moment.
Yes.
By a long way. Corners, not so much. Corners, we left Alex Rufer, but. Certainly dead ball scenarios, yes. And so I just think that it's naive to just let Krishna keep on taking them because he's always been the penalty taker and he's the highest goal scorer. Therefore, he's the only one that should be taking them. I think we need to convert these more often than we are.
Yeah.
50-50 is not
totally
good enough.
I agree. And you know what? Changing now, they won't expect it. They won't expect anybody else to step up.
Yeah.
They're expecting Krishna to step up
Redmayne,
and know where he goes.
Redmayne knew exactly where to go.
Yep.
Redmayne knew exactly where it was going.
So did Kennedy. So did Moss.
Everyone's worked him out.
Yep.
And so did Thomas. Thomas dove there as well.
Lawrence Thomas did. Yeah, it just didn't get there.
Because the ball went somewhere else.
Okay.
That's the thing. The ball went straight down the middle, but Thomas dived to his right, to Christian's left, which is where the penalty goes.
Do you know what? My dad was watching this one on TV, couldn't make it in for the game.
Yeah.
And we got a penalty, and he said to my stepmom, "Hey, oh, good, we got the penalty." He goes, she said, you'll get a point. He goes, no.
I didn't think it was going in.
You watch, he'll kick it to his left.
Yeah.
So Christian's left, and the keeper will go that way.
Yeah.
And my dad loves football, but he's not the guy that does that, and he still picked it out.
This might be completely anecdotal, but it seems to me like shit penalties never go in, as in penalties that are a bit dodgy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a psychological thing, but they always seem to just not quite go in when it's like big clear cut penalties, like the Central Coast penalties, or like those ones you're like, yep, sweet, going in. But I looked at this and went, this is a dodgy pen, this is not going in.
No,
and sure enough, it didn't.
No, it's purely anecdotal.
You don't think that's right?
No. I disagree entirely.
Okay, sweet.
I've seen plenty of times where my team's got pinged by things I don't believe should have been penalties, and they've gone in.
Anyway, this weekend we are taking on, tomorrow for us as we record, are taking on the Melbourne City This is the first time that Melbourne City have returned to Westpac Stadium since the 22nd of February 2017, where they beat the Wellington Phoenix 5-1, goals 2. No, I'm not going to do this, but I've seen that game many times. But it's the first time they come back. Obviously, we had the win against them last year up in Auckland. Was the last time we beat them at home, if you count that as home. Interesting, we haven't been Sydney FC at home since 2013-14.
Yeah, it was
Ernie's first ever win.
Yeah, 1-0.
Gone through an entire tenure of Ernie.
Des and Greeny.
Des and Greeny.
Kalzic.
And Greeny.
And Dario, then Greeny, and now Rudan, and we haven't been in Sydney at home.
Yeah.
It's almost 6 years since we've been there.
I remember that game, though.
Yeah.
It was a great. Yeah, it was a good fun.
Stein scored that goal, right? Steinheisigam
scored that goal. Yeah, around the keeper. Time.
Anyway, we have been in Melbourne City at home more recently than that, as in the last game of last season. Cypress seeing 2 goals there. I think that we win this one. I didn't think we would beat Sydney FC, and I was right, and I think we win this one.
See, I thought we were going to beat Sydney FC, which is why I remember said specifically to Dave, I think we're going to win. That's why we're not. So we were going to lose that one, but I thought it'd be 2-1. I think we are going to win this one, and I think we're going to win it like 3-1, 3-2. Oh, no, I think we're going to score and comfortably do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's 3-1. I think it's a 1-goal win with multiple goals in the game, so 3-2 is what I think. That's the way that we're winning our games against all teams.
I genuinely don't know, because City are a mystery to me. So I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're still in fourth.
I don't know how they're fourth. They seem like they should be back with Adelaide and us.
They're imploding. They don't have a striker. I just don't understand how the wheels have.
4 points.
Is it 4 points now, the difference? Okay, well, that makes more sense.
I don't understand how the wheels haven't fallen off properly, or they've figured out what they're doing again and they're actually starting to play good football, but they're doing neither. Mm. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. So I can't predict it. I think how we recover from that loss is going to be the weather vane for the rest of our season. Mm. So if we recover well and play well, regardless of the result, I think we will do really well this season. We will be well into the top six, if not the top four. Mm. If we lose this game, I think we are going to scratchily hold on for six and be out first round in the playoffs.
Interesting call. I don't think you're wrong either. Actually, I think you're pretty. I think the barometer is the fact that we're in this run of six games against the top four and seven games in our seven game stretch.
And that
is what will define where we go for the whole season. Not necessarily this one game against City, but the fact that you've got Victory, Sydney, City, Perth, Newcastle, Victory, Sydney in a row, and that sequence is what defines your season.
Well, because we've essentially played a lot of our home games already. We've played a lot of the weaker teams multiple times.
Yep.
And not the big teams multiple times. We have to play every team above us twice more.
Not anymore.
Oh, because Adelaide's above us now.
Not anymore.
We'll play Victory. But like
Victory and Sydney. Yeah, so we've got one more game against Victory, one more game against Sydney. But the start of that run, we had 14 games left and 8 of them against the top four, which says a lot.
Yeah.
At the end of the 7-game stretch, we'll have played 6 of those games. So of our last 7 games, 5 of them against teams outside the top four at the start of it. So there's we need points. There's no argument we need points out of this game. We can't be relying on those in 5 of those last 7 games to get those last 12 points that we really need to make playoffs. We'll be shot by then. Yeah. So we do need to get points, and City is a team we need to beat to do it, followed by a hard game at Perth, and then we need to beat Newcastle away. So those are the games that matter.
But in saying that, Perth aren't scoring. 5 of their last 6 halves haven't scored. They've had 2-0 draws last 2 games. They're holding on for draws, but without Economidis, they've got nothing. They haven't shown.
I'll be honest with you, I just zoned out for 30 seconds. I was checking something on my phone, and I came back, and instead of talking about the game against Melbourne City, you're talking about Perth not getting
well,
nil
I'm
draws.
Talking about the rest of the season kind of going forward.
Okay, right.
I think Sydney, we know how Sydney are going to play the next time we play them. They're going to sit back and counter
exactly
and use their speed.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to learn how to get between those lines. Perth. They're going to hold on. They're going to play really structured football, but they may not score a tremendous amount of goals depending on when Economidis comes back. Mm. City, I can't tell how the hell they're going to play. In Victory, we know exactly how they're going to play. The only question is whether Honda comes back, in which case we're in a world of hurt.
If Honda's there, we get smashed. Yeah.
Give me a score prediction for the City game. Do you think we're going to win or draw?
I think I'm going to say a 2-2 draw.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that sounds right. And you've said 3-1, 3-2,
3-1, 3-2, something like that.
I think 2-1, 2-0 probably.
Yep.
So here we go. Other results, I'm just going to go through notable ones. Central Coast Mariners got another point. They got in there against Brisbane Roar. Yeah. Melbourne City and Perth Glory had that nil draw that you're talking about. Adelaide got a win over the Western Sydney Wanderers. Vince Leah and Rolly Bonavacci getting goals in that game.
Yeah, that's true.
Vince Leah's goal was excellent again.
It was. He doesn't score shit goals, that guy.
No, he doesn't.
Was that Bonavacci's free kick?
No.
Yes, it was. It was a really nice
Yes,
free
it was. Sorry,
yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, that was
good
decent.
Free kick, yeah. The keeper didn't even move. Melbourne City got a 4-3 win over the Wanderers. That was a late goal from Melbourne City that pushed them up there, I think.
Yeah, I think that was 6 goals in 17 minutes or something stupid like that.
No, I think you're thinking of the Perth game the other week.
Against Western Sydney Wanderers? Because Western Sydney is shipping a lot of goals late.
Yeah, this was 2 goals in the last 10 minutes.
Yep.
Meant that.
Who would think that having double trainings every day in the Australian summer with a limited squad size would bite your balls?
I think they've lost like 4-3 in really, really recently. And I think
they lost 4-3 to Perth. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Perth scored 3 goals in the last 15 minutes to win that 4-3.
Better than that. Yeah. But there's loads of that been going on for them. So,
Newcastle Jets had a 1-0 win over Central Coast Mariners after our game on the weekend. And after our game on Wednesday, sorry, you're right. Perth Glory drew with Adelaide United. So those two teams around us, Perth Glory have drawn with. So that is potentially a weakness there for them. Yeah. The other games this round coming up, kicking off in an hour's time for us. Brisbane Roar taking on Western Sydney Wanderers. Don't think that's going to be 4-3 to Brisbane Roar, but we'll see.
No.
Melbourne Victory playing Sydney FC after our game on Saturday night. So hopefully they draw that and take points off each other. Adelaide United playing the Mariners. So Adelaide will win that because the Mariners, despite being better, are still pants. Perth Glory playing the Jets. That's a good test for Perth Glory because they need to win that game if they want to win the league. And
the Jets need that. What are they 8 points adrift?
Eight points behind us now.
And if Perth end up with a draw in that game, then their Premier's plate aspirations take a massive hit just on performance and confidence, not necessarily in terms of points because they're still up there. But, T-dubs the weekend.
I just on that Victory Sydney game.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Not really bothered by if they take points off each other.
Because they're going to be top three.
True. I'm not looking at top three. I'm looking at fourth, fifth, and sixth. I'm only worried about Sydney and Adelaide and Newcastle, to be honest.
I really want to be looking at top three, but I can't. Yeah. Anyway, back to T Dubs. Does anyone know how T Dubs went on the weekend?
So it was the 2-2 draw against Tasman, wasn't it?
It was. They were 1-0 up.
And 2-1 up in injury time and conceded late.
They scored in the 90th minute or something after Tasman had a player sent off.
Yeah, and then Tasman scored again.
Just after that.
2 minutes later to level it up.
It's just not good enough for Team Wellington.
No, it's not.
When you play your get-out-of-jail-free card, you don't just then go running straight back into jail.
Yeah.
Which is, especially when you want to be challenging the top two now, which is looking more and more like it's going to be Auckland City, Eastern Suburbs.
And going off what I've seen this season, you can't really argue
that's
with
fair,
it.
But it's because Team Wellington are making mistakes like this and dropping points where they shouldn't.
Exactly.
White Hart game, now Tasman.
Big news coming out of there today, though.
Yeah, Joel Stevens.
Joel Stevens coming back. That's massive. Big, that is really good.
There's mention of potentially another player coming in as well, I've heard, but I have no idea who that could possibly be. So, they need to change something, right? So
they do. Are they really missing Andy Bevan? I think he will make a hell of a difference.
No Bevan, no party is how it's been for them for a while now.
It pretty much is, and I think I'm very much looking forward to him getting back. I don't know if he's back this weekend or not.
So the other results of the round was that Southern United beat Hamilton Wanderers 3-1, Eastern Suburbs beat Canterbury United 5-1.
Go and say it.
The Wenix beat Waitakere 2-0. First point for the Wenix of the season. That is a weird result to me after Waitakere have just dispatched Team Wellington very comfortably 2-1. Should have been 2-0. They essentially 2-0 for most of the game. And Auckland City got up over Hawke's Bay United 4-1. This weekend's games, Auckland City host Eastern Suburbs at 4 p.m. tomorrow. And I wish that this was the TV game. I really wish this was the TV game, but it's not.
It'd be great to watch that prior to going to the pub.
Exactly.
Prior to going to the
Phoenix.
Yeah. That's going to be difficult at the Bencher at the moment, isn't it?
Nobody wants to watch Hamilton versus Hawke's Bay.
No.
And that's on TV this week. Have some grounds to change your TV game based on who the best teams in the league are.
Especially when they're playing each other.
Yeah,
but then Southern wouldn't get any games.
Well, yeah, anyway. Canterbury United taking on the Wenix. There's another chance for some Wenix to pick up some results there. Tasman hosting Waitak. Southern United hosting Team Wellington. I think this is live streamed from Forsyth Bar Stadium, so we should be able to watch that on Sunday.
Yeah, nice.
That's at 2 p.m. And then, as I mentioned, Hamilton Wanderers taking on Hawke's Bay from Porritt Stadium in Hamilton on the telly. And I think that is everything for us this week.
Yep.
Not quite.
What else we got?
The Knicks, the end of the month, we need to have players signed.
true, actually. Yeah, because we've released Nichols and we're releasing Ruben Way on January 31st, right?
Yeah. That's my understanding.
I don't see us signing a local. I don't think there's anybody.
Well, no, that's it. I was kind of like, if it is, if T Dubs are bringing players in, it's not because they're letting other players go. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gully is the one, right?
Yeah.
Well, we need 100%.
And they would have
the
already done
need
it.
A central midfielder rather than a right wing, more urgently than they need a right
but
wing.
But if we're looking for a player to fill out the 23rd or 20th, as it will be, place on the playing roster, your seventh down the pecking order on the bench. It doesn't matter who it is. It just needs to be someone. Gully is the obvious option, surely. But
shit, also on.
They would have done it by now.
Jack
Henry?
Yeah.
He's not a central midfielder.
He's a winger.
Winger, defensive cover. He could do the Louis Fenton job, but he...
He's not a Gully. Gully is just such a cut above.
No, exactly.
I know, but what I'm saying, I mean, Sinclair has been on and off the bench for T-dubs, so he's more likely to take a next deal than Gully, who's the skipper and the starter.
But I think, yeah,
I think if you offered Gully a next deal,
he takes it
in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Really? He's done his club world club.
Because then he's training week in, week out at the Phoenix, showing the coach what he can do. Mm. And that's a big thing for him, plus being paid.
Yeah. Hey, I'll sign. I'll take minimum wage.
You are the opposite of an obvious option.
Yes, exactly. That's why they wouldn't expect to see me coming.
You're in a moon boot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Admittedly, I'm not going to be able to play for a few weeks. Months.
You'll still be more effective at number 10 than Nathan Burns would be.
Match fitness. No, I wouldn't. You've got to get on the ball first.
You toe hack with that moon boot and it's still better than
Burns. You just go around kicking people with that. It's going to fucking hurt them.
I've got to catch up to them first.
Yes.
And I'd be brutal at set pieces.
Osama Malik has been released as well. Oh, he's off to Indonesia,
is it?
Yeah.
We don't need him.
Asia.
We don't want
somewhere.
Him.
No.
Pat's favourite player.
I'm glad that he's not coming to Westpac Stadium this weekend.
Yeah.
What an arsehole.
he's not my favourite player, that's for
I have
sure.
to admit, I do love the way your attitude towards this challenge has changed so much from episode 1 to episode 26.
It's a real journey. But I think that is everything for this week. So we'll wrap up there. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Get down to Bencher tomorrow.
Well, yeah, this afternoon if you're listening.
Yeah, true.
Or 2 days ago if you're listening on Monday.
Yeah.
This podcast doesn't really work when we start putting days and times on things.
It really doesn't, yeah.
It's not a live radio show, so yeah, nobody's listening to us right
Ignore
now.
Ignore me.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, Piney's interview with Teo
Pelizzari. It's just he was an arsehole, wasn't he?
Well, so the idea that players would play better to basically put themselves out of a job for the next year. Well, genius.
His point was that the players were playing better so that they would increase the value of the license so the owners could get more money selling it on. Yeah, I definitely do my job better so the company can sell my job somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's definitely how I do my job, so... He was clutching. He'd been told by his employers, Fox Sports, to toe the party line, and he came up with that, which was interesting to say the least, which is a shame because I like him as a commentator. That's I think he's a really good commentator.
Yeah, I agree.
But it turns out he's just an asshole as well.
Not a high bar for Fox, mate.
True, actually. I can't wait for the Asian Cup to be over and people like my mate Brendan, Nick Meredith not being colour commentators anymore because they've sent over 4 different commentators to the Asian Cup and... Turns out Brendan Speed is actually one of the better commentators compared to the crop we currently have.
Apart from Teo, who we like as a commentator.
As a commentator, not a person.
Not so much as a commentator on the league.
Anyway,
to be fair, I would prefer the Aussies to stay over there because that means Economidis would stay over there and Perth might remain in
the back. Yep, that's a good point.
Unless someone kicks his legs out, that's
also decent.
Did you see that they had to rely on a penalty shootout against Uzbekistan in the round of 16?
I actually watched that. I watched the extra time. Yeah.
Hilarious, right?
I was unfortunate enough to be up with a child. So,
all right, so you watched it?
Yeah, I put them in front of cartoons and streamed it.
You were saying Matt Ryan 2 saves in the penalty shootout?
Yeah.
Both excellent. Actually, all 3 saves in that penalty shootout were excellent saves.
Who have they got in the round in the quarterfinals? I've forgotten.
So do I.
Saudi Arabia? No.
Nope.
I don't know. I have no idea. But that'll do for this week. Come back next week. We'll be podding again. Back on a more reasonable schedule, I think. And have a lovely weekend or week or I'll just fuck this up. Bye.
Fucking up the outros brings you
Windy Wellington brings you.
Verbals with the opposition coaches again bring you.
Advertising hoardings falling over in the wind bring you.
Getting pelted with chip cups and empty beer cups brings you.
That was quite funny.
The end of the run brings you.
That's depressing.
But it's accurate.
But fuck accurate. This is supposed to be fun. What are you doing to me?
I'm giving you a great piece of outtake that you can stick at the end of the pod.
I don't want you to remind me that it's over. Yeah. Don't do that.